it's time to update you a little bit on what's going on in my life, because I never talk about that. So I want to tell you that I now have an editor for my book, and tomorrow I'll have a signed contract with her. I'm excited about that. And also, the craft part of the book has been kind of a big challenge for me, not knowing where to go or what to do about it. And I'm so thankful that Kim and her girls are doing fantastic. They're working with me to come up with the crafts and to do some crafts, and it's just We did one time. It was great. We're going to keep doing that. I'm real thankful for that. They are so talented and so gifted. Also, what I'm doing is I'm learning how to do a Bible study and thoroughly enjoying that. And I'm looking forward to soon I will be sharing about some of the things I'm learning on how to do a Bible study and also how to pray the scriptures a way I've never seen before, and it's really exciting. And then also I have a newsletter and a blog at cindysakey.com. So those are the things that are going on with me. And today I'm real happy that my mom, Cora, and Roberta, kind of like a sister to me, are here to watch, as well as Vicki and Gary Turner. And I went to Bible school with them. I did typing for Gary. He went on to become a pastor. So at least I'm trying to do something. Not quite that much, but trying to do something. And as you know, we're talking about St. Patrick, the man, the hymn, the legend. I'd like to start with a prayer of St. Patrick's. May the strength of God guide us. May the power of God preserve us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the shield of God defend us. May the angels of God guard us against the snares of the evil one, against the temptations of the world. May Christ be with us. May Christ be before us. May Christ be in us. Christ be over all. May thy grace, Lord, always be ours this day, O Lord, and forevermore. Amen. This morning, I've asked Sage to play the part of St. Patrick. And she is going to be reading, it's called the Confessio of St. Patrick. That's proper terminology. So everything Sage says is going to be true. I can't say that for everything I'm going to say, though. Why did I get interested in St. Patrick? Because as I researched the hymns and learned more about hymns, St. Patrick kept coming up in my research as the Christianity moved from Asia to Europe and then over to America. And I got real curious, who is this guy? I want to know. And that is why I got interested. The life and legacy of St. Patrick is shrouded with intrigue and mystery. He was the first person in history to oppose slavery. He single-handedly ended slavery in Ireland and was the first ever slave captured by barbarians that did not die. He was a man known for visions and dreams. So there's a lot of fact about St. Patrick from his confessions, but also a lot of legends. For example, some of you may know the legend of him driving the snakes out of Ireland. You may have heard of that. We don't know if that's true or not. However, whether it was physical snakes or what do you call analogy of snakes representing the devil, you know, he did drive the Satan out of Ireland. So that's why I say you can't trust everything I'm going to say today, but I think you'll get an idea of something. I've done the best. I've read these ideas several times, so in several places they say this is true, but we don't really know for sure. Okay, now I want you to think back with me. We're going to travel back in time to when the Roman Empire was crumbling. Literature, culture, and science are being destroyed. Turmoil reigning, war and violence permeating the culture. Barbarians, Goths, and Attila the Hun are attacking and plundering towns and cities, leaving their trademark behind: devastation, famine, and death. It was a dark world 386 years after Christ, the birth of Christ, when St. Patrick the Brit was born into a wealthy family of clergymen. He was kidnapped at the age of 16. Prior to that, we think he was kind of a curious kind of guy and not a real student. He just kind of had fun, and the Irish people would come over, and he was intrigued by them, and we don't know exactly what he did. But Patrick and thousands of others were taken to Ireland. The reason, in Patrick's words,
"We had gone away from God and did not keep his commandments."
God used him to transform this island of savages and pagans into the island of saints and scholars, the island of salvation. Ireland was about as far away from the center of Christianity as one could go, yet it was protected by the hand of God for his purposes. St. Patrick was the man God would use to bring his light to this island, and indeed the entire Western world. He begins preparing Patrick for the task by putting him to work as a slave for a Druid priest. It was here that he learned to trust God and to pray. He writes about this time of his life in the Confessio of St. Patrick.
"After I came to Ireland, every day I had to tend sheep, and many times a day I prayed. The love of God and his fear came to me more and more, and my faith was strengthened, and my spirit was moved so that in a single day I would say as many as 100 prayers and almost as many in the night."
After 6 years tending sheep for the Druid priest, the Spirit of God was burning within him. A dream of a voice came to him saying,
"Very soon you'll return to your native country." Again, after a short while, I heard someone saying to me, "Look, your ship is ready." It was not nearby, but a good 200 miles away. I had never been to the place, nor did I know anyone there. So I ran away then and left the man with whom I had been with for 6 years. It was in the strength of God that I went, God who turned the direction of my life to good. I feared nothing while I was on the journey to that ship.
The penalty for a runaway slave? Death. But Patrick had no fear, because he had learned to trust the visions and the dreams that he had become very accustomed to. And you can read about this in Acts 2:17, where the Bible tells us that your young men shall see visions and your old man shall have dreams. When he found the ship that he had seen in the vision, the captain snarled at him in an angry voice, saying, "Don't you dare try to come with us." Upon hearing this, Patrick turned to God in prayer, and
"Before I even finished the prayer, I heard one of them shout aloud to me, 'Come, we'll trust you.' They were pagans, and I hoped they might come to faith in Jesus Christ. This is how I got to go with them, and we set sail right away."
After 3 days, their ship reached land, where they wandered without food in the wilderness for 28 days. And Patrick writes about this time.
"The captain turned to me and said, 'What about this, Christian? You tell us that your God is great and all-powerful. Why can't you pray for us, since we're in a bad state with hunger? There's no signs of us finding a human being anywhere.' Then I said to them with some confidence, 'Turn in faith with all your hearts to the Lord my God, because nothing is impossible for him, so that he may put food in your way, even enough to make you fully satisfied. He has an abundance everywhere. With the help of God, this actually is what happened. A herd of pigs appeared in the way before our eyes. They killed many of them, and there they remained for 2 nights and were fully restored. And the dogs, too, were filled. Many of them had grown weak and left half alive by the way. After this, they gave the greatest of thanks to God, and I was honored in their eyes. From this day on, they had plenty of food."
And Patrick makes it back to his family in Britain, when he has another dream calling him back to Ireland. So when he has this dream, he needs to start studying. He goes to a monastery to learn what he needs to do to go back to Ireland. And in these monasteries at this time, they had to pair the students up with each other, and they'd become really good friends, like almost like a soulmate. And the whole idea is they would share the deepest, most innermost secrets with one another. Well, Patrick had a secret. We don't know what it was. Possibly it could be that he had participated in an Irish pagan ritual. We don't know. But whatever it was, he confessed this to his friend. Now, finally, after 21 years, the call came. We need somebody to come to Ireland. Patrick's time had finally arrived. He arrived. He was so excited. However, what they did is they had a time where the student and the teachers and their best friend, bosom friend, would come together and they would interview and ask questions. Well, at this time, his friend ratted on him and told them about this secret that he had performed before he knew the Lord, and he didn't get to go to Ireland. His heart was broken. He almost lost it, but he didn't. He persevered with the Lord. The guy that got to go instead of Patrick lasted less than a year. He was killed. So about a year afterwards, the call comes again. Patrick's time has finally come. He gets to go and sail to Ireland. When he arrives at Ireland, his first order of business is to share Christ with the man who he had been a slave for. Well, this was not good news for Milcho, that was his name. He was a savage druid who only knew of revenge and barbarianism. So if his former slave is going to come and see him, he is not going to allow himself to become a slave to his old slave. No way. So what he does is he gathers all of his belongings, brings them into his house, sets his house on fire, and commits suicide. Oh, Patrick is heartbroken. He cries, he's really sad. Okay, that breaks his heart that this man had done it, because he didn't get to come to the Lord, and he was really sad. So his first missionary venture failed. Now it's Easter Eve, and Patrick sets out to light a paschal fire on Slane Hill. A paschal fire is like the Passover fire. He's challenging King Leghair, that's how I'm pronouncing his name, and his pagan gods. On this night, no light or candle is allowed until the king's fire is lit by the druid priests. Death, the penalty. Similar to Elijah meeting with the prophets of Baal when he lit the fire at Mount Carmel. And he says in 1 Kings 18:21, "If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him."
It came to pass at a time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord is God! The Lord, He is God!"
Similarly, Patrick lights a blazing bonfire in honor of Jesus Christ. The king is livid. One of his druids warns,
"Unless that fire is extinguished, it'll spread throughout all of Ireland, and your kingship will be weakened."
The king orders death for the defiant bishop. Well, it didn't quite go as the king had anticipated. To the king's dismay, many of his subjects are converted to Christianity on their way to execute Patrick. It has been said that when their would-be captors reach the blazing fire, Patrick and his followers are transformed into a gentle doe and 20 fawns, descending the hill, making their way to the king, fully aware that an ambush lay in wait for them. They began to sing the cry of the deer. Take it away, Pete!
I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of sun, radiance of moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of wind, depth of the sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's eye to look before me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me from all who shall wish me ill afar and anear, alone and in a
bewildered. The king is dumbfounded when he sees Patrick and his men standing before him. As they approach King Leghair, they sing the psalm.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will call on the name of the Lord our God.
One member of the king's party approaches Patrick, is blessed by him, and converts to Christianity. The king's anger rages as his swordsmen draw their swords to slay the man of God. Patrick draws the sword of God's word and proclaims,
"Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those who also hate him flee before him.
Without warning, the pagans turned their swords against each other. The queen, watching the event, becomes a believer. King Leghair, though unwilling to accept the God of the Bible, gives Patrick permission to preach throughout Ireland and with his protection. The legacy of St. Patrick, God's willing servant, is salvation for thousands. This good news spreading throughout Ireland into Europe and the entire Western world. Evangelists and missionaries sprang up from the good soil where St. Patrick sowed the seeds of faith. Some converts to Christianity sailed back to Britain and Europe, proclaiming the gospel message. The English common law is rooted in the Bible, nurtured, pruned, and cultivated, then transported to America, where God had protected a nation for his people that he had prepared. The seeds of Scripture, firmly planted in biblical principles, blossomed in the land of the free and home of the brave. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. When Patrick heard the voice of the Lord asking, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" he replied,
"Here I am. Send me."
He was the man God used to reach Ireland, a teenage Brit, kidnapped, slave, and sheepherder for a Druid priest who became evangelist to Ireland. In his lifetime, he baptized 120,000 people and planted 300 churches in the 30-plus years that he sojourned Ireland until his death on March 17, 461 AD. A solid faith in God's word was sown into the lives of these newly converted Celtic Christians who kept the flame of Christianity burning. The once pagan island of Ireland became source and seedbed for high culture. For 100 years after his death, students from all over the world came to study at Ireland's Christian monasteries, where they found peace and protection, taking up the mantle and spreading the faith. After the Roman Empire collapsed and the European continent fell into chaos, St. Patrick's converts to Christianity almost single-handedly preserved the biblical texts with the Book of Kells, which is Ireland's finest national treasure and possibly the most precious object of the Western world. God used St. Patrick to affect not only Ireland, but all of Christendom. Ireland, a country that had only just been baptized, became the second center for the dissemination of God's word because of one man who, like David a sheepherder in his youth, proclaimed God's word in his adult years. Like Elijah, he proved the one true God with the paschal fire. Thomas Cahill, an Irish historian, writes,
"Only this former slave had the right instincts to impart to the Irish a new story, one that made sense of all their old stories and brought them a peace they had never known before. Because of Patrick, a barbarian land laid down their swords of battle, flung away the knives of sacrifice, and cast off the chains of slavery. Nowhere in the history of Christianity is there so clear an instance of the Christian transformation of a pagan culture, with so little influence by the culture that brought the Christian message. He continued to spread the gospel for the 30-plus years until God calls him home on March 17th, 461 A.D.
Over a century after his death, "Be Thou My Vision" was written by a blind monk in honor of St. Patrick's defiance that Easter Sunday Eve. Years later, the hymn was set to a tune of a traditional Irish folk song, Slain, named after the hill where Patrick shone his light that night. Nearly 1,500 years later, in 1905, a 25-year-old college student translated the poem into English for the first time. I'm going to just reread. We were able, thank goodness, our I'm so thankful for our music team. They played that Be Thou My Vision. But now that you've heard his story, I want to read three stanzas from the hymn and think about what you've heard. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught is else to me save that thou art. Be thou my best thought in the day and the night, both waking and sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word, be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou my great father, and I thy true son, be thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight, be thou my whole armor, be thou my true light. Be thou my soul's shelter, be thou my strong tower, O raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Gary, do you remember when we were at Multnomah, Frank Eaton, the music director? And remember this was his song? He loved this song? I just have wondered that he probably knew the story of St. Patrick. Okay. St. Patrick answered the Lord's call, saying,
Here I am. Send me.
How about you? Will you answer the Lord's call? When you think about St. Patrick's Day, or the next time you hear the hymn, Be Thou My Vision, remember St. Patrick, the man, the hymn, the legend. Finally, I would like to say that during the last few months, while I was getting to know St. Patrick, I have tried to adopt some of his mindset. For example, last week, Jerry spoke, though I wanted to because it was just before St. Patrick's Day. But I am sure that everyone who was here that day will agree with me that it was the right thing to do. Right afterwards, I said to Karen, aren't we glad that we let Jerry speak today? His message was powerful and touching. Today he is in Uganda, and we never would have had that amazing opportunity. God's ways are not our ways, nor our thoughts his thoughts. And this morning, my mom, Roberta, Gary, and Vicky are here. They never would have come if I would have done this the day that I had planned. Also, we have Sage and her siblings performing for us and sharing with us some of their giftings, making today's service so much better than it would have been if it was just me. They brought interest and life to the story. And we had a wonderful time preparing this message for you. Thank you.